been a blessing to my heart, and I'm grateful for the year and look forward to the new one. Look at Isaiah 6, again for a little while. This is a passage of Scripture that I've wanted to preach on for some time. I've heard it preached on at least a couple of times, and it's one of those glorious passages of Scripture that no preacher can go long, I guess, without preaching on. It's just, if the Lord's going to say something about my iniquity being taken away, I'm going to have to look into that at some point, don't you think? And, you know, I don't know. I think I speak for you when I say this. I want to see the Lord, don't you? Isaiah saw the Lord. Does that interest you at all? He saw the Lord. In the year King Uzziah died, he saw the Lord. And Uzziah's death is not mentioned here casually or without design. It was in the death of King Uzziah that the Lord began to reveal himself to Isaiah. I want you to turn with me into the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 26, and we'll see that. The account of Uzziah as king can be read in that chapter. I'll summarize some for time's sake. He was 16 years old when he began to reign, and he was a great king. He was a wise king. He was capable in battle. And best of all, it says he did that which was right in the sight of God. But the problem comes as we pick up the narrative in verse 14. We'll find out how King Uzziah died, beginning with verse 14. And Uzziah prepared for them throughout all the host shields and spears and helmets and habergeons and bows and slings to cast stones. And he made in Jerusalem engines invented by cunning men to be on the towers and upon the bulwarks, to shoot arrows and great stones withal. And his name spread far abroad, for he was marvelously helped till he was strong. He was a mighty, wise, inventive, and strong leader. But verse 16, when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. Solomon said, what? Pride goeth before what? And he did fall, didn't he? And he went into the temple of the Lord, it says in verse 16, to burn incense upon the altar of incense. Well, that seems like a good thing to do. Going to church is a good thing, isn't it? Worshiping the Lord. There's worship, what men call worship, and then there's worship. And we're going to find out the difference by God's grace this morning. And Azariah the priest went in after him, and with him 80 priests of the Lord that were valiant men. He got their attention, didn't he? 81 men went after him and said, hold on now, Uzziah. And they withstood Uzziah the king and said unto him, it pertaineth not unto thee, Uzziah. The king has all authority, and we're supposed to obey the king, aren't we, until he crosses God, until he is against God. And then we withstand the king, won't we? We withstand whoever flies in the face of God as he's revealed in Christ. And that's what Uzziah did here. They withstood him, and they said this, it appertaineth not unto thee, Uzziah, to burn incense unto the Lord, but to the priests, the sons of Aaron, that are consecrated to burn incense. Go out of the sanctuary, for thou hast trespassed. Neither shall it be for thine honor from the Lord. Then Uzziah was wroth and had a censer in his hand to burn incense. And while he was wroth with the priests, the leprosy even rose up in his forehead before the priests in the house of the Lord from beside the incense altar. And Azariah the chief priest and all the priests looked upon him, and behold, he was leprous in his forehead. And they thrust him out from thence, yea, himself hasted also to go out, because the Lord had smitten him. And Uzziah the king was a leper unto the day of his death, and dwelt in a several house, being a leper. For he was cut off from the house of the Lord, and Jotham his son was over the king's house, judging the people of the land. Well, isn't it a good thing to go into God's presence? Is that what you've done? You've come here to meet in this place before the Lord this morning? That's a good thing, isn't it? Are you here in Christ? Or did you come here with your goodness and your works before God? Did you come here to do something for the Lord? That's what Uzziah was going to do. And God turned him into a leper. The right way is for the consecrated priest who represents us before the Lord to present himself before the Lord, and we look to him. We look to our priest and find acceptance with God alone in him. Not our doing something for God, but what our priest did for God. And that's what Uzziah usurped. He did an end run on that. And you can't do that. He that cometh in any other way is a thief and a robber, Christ said. What was Uzziah seeing? Well, beside the obvious disobedience to God's order in the priesthood, there is a reason for God's order and instructions regarding the temple that Uzziah entered. The things in the temple and the people who ministered in and around the temple and what they were to do in the ministration of the temple and how they were to do it, all were designed and ordained of God to set forth Christ. Christ is our tabernacle. Christ is our high priest. Christ is our sin offering. He's all the things represented by this temple and the business of the temple and those who did the business of the temple. What Uzziah did was an attempt to bypass Christ as the priest who ministers as mediator between God and the people. You don't want anything to do with a holy God without a mediator. And that's what Uzziah did. He went into the presence of God without a mediator. Those priests said, "It pertains not to you, Uzziah, to do that, because God cannot be approached without a mediator, a high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ." He was wroth when they told him that. It made him mad. "You mean I can't go into the presence of God? I'm not good enough?" He was wroth like Cain was wroth, that God would not accept his bloodless offering. "What do you mean God won't accept me? I've joined the church. I've made my decision for Jesus. I've paid my tithes. I've been baptized. What do you mean God won't accept me?" That's exactly what I mean. God won't have anything to do with you except in wrath, apart from your substitute. Our merits, or lack thereof, make us unworthy to enter his presence. And we must rest and trust in Christ, who enters the presence of God as our representative. That's what Uzziah despised right there. He must enter on our behalf as these earthly priests performed and ministered in the temple on behalf of the Israelites, the people of God, in an earthly sense. Or you'll die in your sins. You will die in your sin. It says that Uzziah was a leper until the day of his death. And you'll be in your sin until the day you die. And you'll die in your sins if you despise the Lord Jesus Christ and his mediatorship, his work, and his representation before God. We trust him. We rest in him. We own him as our representative and high priest. And this is key to God showing himself to you. It was in the year that happened that Isaiah said, "I saw the Lord." And it'll be when Christ is exalted in your eyes that you can say the same thing. God will exalt the Lord Jesus Christ, his office, his person, his work, when he reveals himself to you. Christ won't any longer be your fire escape from hell, waiting over in the corner for somebody to feel sorry for him and make a decision for him. You'll see him as Isaiah saw him. And who was it that Isaiah saw, after all? How can it be said that Isaiah saw the Lord? John said in 1:18, "No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him." No man, no human, no mortal has ever seen the completely unveiled person of God. Nor could we without being destroyed. He told Moses. Moses said, "Show me your glory." And God said, "If I do, it'll kill you. It'll kill you." But he put him in the cleft of the rock. And standing in the cleft of the rock, put his feet upon a rock, and from there he could see the glory of God. And that's where Isaiah saw God, in the face of Jesus Christ. You think I'm making that up, don't you? It's Christ who is God with us Look, turn with me to John 12, and I'll show you that that's right. He saw Christ on the throne. That's who he saw. And I'm fixing to prove it to you. John 12, 36. John said, while you have light, believe in the light. The Lord spoke these words. Believe in the light that you may be the children of light. These things spake Jesus and departed and did hide himself from them. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. Now who's this passage talking about? They're talking about Jesus Christ. And it goes on to say that the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report? And to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore they could not believe, because that Isaiah said again, he hath blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them. These things said Isaiah when he saw his glory. Whose glory? Who are we talking about? Jesus Christ. When he saw his glory and spake of him. He prophesied of the one, and that prophecy concerning him is being fulfilled right there in their presence. And it's the Lord Jesus Christ he saw when he looked at that throne and said, he's high and lifted up. His train fills the temple. And the whole earth is full of his glory. Jesus of Nazareth. So you see how what happened to Uzziah and what happened and what Isaiah saw are the same thing. They're part of the same experience. It was Christ that was dishonored in what Uzziah did. The bypassing of the high priest and God's way of acceptance for sinners with him. Through a mediator, through a representative, through a substitute. And that offering that that substitute has to offer. Uzziah bypassed that and despised that. And what Isaiah saw was the same thing. He saw Christ high and lifted up as the way to God. The way, the truth, the life. And that's who he saw. In Uzziah's death and in the heavenly vision of the throne, Isaiah saw the sovereign Christ, who's not to be trifled with. He saw Christ Jesus high and lifted up. You see, the Lord Jesus has always been and has never ceased to be the sovereign King of glory. John 1:1, John said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God. And the same was in the beginning with God. And everything was made by him. Who was it that was speaking when God said, let us make man in our image? That was the Lord Jesus Christ. And without him was not anything made that was made. The psalmist spoke of him when he said in verse 7 of 24, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory will come in. Who is this King of glory? He's the Lord of hosts, the Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Even when Christ humbled himself and was made in the likeness of sinful flesh, he was the sovereign King of glory then. Did you know that? He didn't cease to be the King of glory. When he spoke as a man, the very elements obeyed him like a trained animal. And they feared in Mark 4:41, it says they feared exceedingly and they said to one another, what manner of man is this? That even the wind and the sea obey him. We know what manner of man he is, don't we? He's the King of glory. He's the high and lifted up sovereign that Isaiah saw in chapter 6. In Matthew 17, when the Lord briefly lifted the veil of his humanity. And it says in verse 2 of chapter 17 of Matthew that Christ was transfigured before them. And his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And when Paul met him on the Damascus Road, he saw him that way, didn't he? He was given account of his experience to King Agrippa, and he said, at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun. I've never seen anything that outshined the sun. Have you? Not physically. not physically, but the face of Jesus Christ shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, what'd you do, Saul? I fell to the earth. And I heard a voice speaking to me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It's hard for thee to kick against the goads. And I said, who are you, Lord? Who are you? And he said, I'm Jesus, whom thou persecutest. Saul had authority from who he thought was in authority to go persecute this Jesus of Nazareth. And then he met the king on his way, didn't he? He met the king. Even in the hour of Christ's betrayal and his submission into the hands of wicked men, he was in perfect, sovereign authority and control. Turn with me to John 18 and verse 3. We're talking about the king this morning. They said, where is he that's born the king? He was a king when he was born. He was the king before he was born. And he's the king today. He was the king even in the hour of his betrayal. John 18:3. Judas then, having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, cometh thither with lanterns and torches and weapons. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, whom seek ye? And they answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. And he saith unto them, I am. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. And as soon as he had said unto them, I am, they went backward and fell to the ground. That's not a mere man speaking. That's the Lord of glory. And then asked he them again, whom seek ye? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. And Jesus answered, I have told you that I am. If therefore ye seek me, let these go their way. And they did, didn't they? Who's calling the shots here? Who's calling the shots? That the saying might be fulfilled which he spake, of them which thou gavest me, I've lost none. While he was by his own design in the hands of men, men were still in his hands to do with them as he would. Even when Christ was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, that one thief recognized him, didn't he? And he said, Lord, you remember me when you come into your kingdom. You're a king, and you're going to the throne. And when you do, don't forget me. Don't forget. And when we see the little plastic dolls and the nativity scenes around the city this time of the year, let's try to remember who he really is. Who it is we're dealing with. And this is interesting to me, and I know it is to you. I want to hear what you, the people of God, have to say about the Lord. I rejoice to hear you speak about him, because I know that you're jealous for his glory. And I know that it's by the lips of chosen, gifted men that God has ordained that his gospel be preached. And I love to hear that. But here in our text, we have the testimony of those who dwell in his very presence continually, and those who are perfect without sin and holy before him, who are already perfect in the sense that you and I are not. And these creatures have three words to describe this king: holy, holy, holy. What is holy? Have you ever thought about that? What does holy mean? I've explained to you before how that we know some things about God by reversing it, by putting a negative at the beginning of it, like immutable. God's immutable. We know what mutability is because we're mutable. We change constantly. We're fickle. We're hot one day, cold the next. And when you put a negative in front of that, it gives you some idea of God's character, doesn't it? Because he's not that way. He said, I'm the Lord. I change not. He's immutable. But what about holy? How do you get a grip on that? I don't know how to describe it to you except in scripture language. Holy is that even the angels are not pure in his sight. Even they have to cover their faces in his overwhelming presence. Does that help at all? Holy is John saying in the book of Revelation, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. Holy is Peter in that little boat with him, getting a glimpse of his majesty and power and saying, Lord, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man. That's holy. Does that help at all? Holy is Job saying, I've heard of you before, but now I've seen you. Mine eye seeth thee, and I abhor myself. Holy is God, not sparing his only begotten, well-beloved Son when he became what I am. Holy is when that loud voice cried from the cross, that earth-shattering cry, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And the answer, the awful answer is this, holy, holy, holy. Well, when you see the Lord as Isaiah saw him, and as Job did, and as John did, what was your reaction? Have you seen him by faith? Have you seen the Lord by faith? I don't know if I've seen him to the extent that Isaiah saw him, to the extent that John did. I don't know about that. But I know this, when I saw him where they saw him. Didn't you? And when he revealed himself to me, he revealed himself the same way that he revealed himself to them. I was going to say forced, and that's right, but forced with my full consent to say, he's high and lifted up. High and lifted up. Is that how you saw it? Isaiah, the angels had three words to describe God, and they were all the same word. You reckon he had reference there to the three persons of the Godhead? The Father is holy. The Son is holy. The Spirit of God is holy. He's the thrice holy God. And when Isaiah saw him who was described by those three words, Isaiah had two words to describe himself. Did you notice them as we read? Undone and unclean. Have you seen him? Has he revealed himself to you? And if he did, would you describe yourself that way? We saw the same Lord, didn't we? I don't know in what sense and with what intensity, with what vividness, to what degree Isaiah saw it, but I've seen the same God, haven't you? By God's grace, God who caused the light to shine out of darkness, shined in my black, wicked, sinful heart. And he gave the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the same face that Isaiah looked into when he said, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. The face of Jesus Christ. Have you seen him? I have. I'm honest with you. I've seen the same one he talked about. And I would describe myself the same way. Unclean. I'm undone. And he said I'm undone because I'm unclean. That's why I'm cut off. The word there undone means cut off. I'm cut off. I'm cut off from God. Your sins have separated between you and your God. And in and of myself, I am cut off. I'm even as others who have no hope in and of myself. I'm cut off and I'm cut off because I'm polluted. That's the word there, unclean. I'm polluted before God. And if we ever see Him as He is, we'll get a glimpse of ourselves as we are before Him. That's why Job hated himself. He didn't just wake up one day and decided, I just don't like myself. You know, he had bad self-esteem. He saw God and he said, I hate myself. And John fell at his feet as a dead man when he saw Him as He is. And when we do, we shall as well. We'll quit thinking those high thoughts of ourselves. We'll fall at His feet. And we'll say, I'm cut off. Unless He has mercy, I'm done for. I'm done for. And then look at verse 8. There's just one remedy here. There's a holy God, and there's a wretched, vile, cut off, polluted sinner. And there's one remedy. There's one hope. There's one plea. One glimmer of hope here. Verse 6. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. From where? Where did he get it? From the place where the blood was shed. That's where it came from. And he applied it to me. He laid it on my... He said, I'm a man of unclean lips. And we know that out of the heart proceedeth. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so, we know where the uncleanness comes from. Our lips are unclean because our heart is unclean. And he touched us with that coal from off the altar. And he said, lo, this hath touched thy lips, and your iniquity is taken away. Your sin is purged. You're cut off, but not in Christ. You're undone. You're polluted, but that pollution is done away with because the sacrifice is applied to you. If this holy God is going to have anything to do with me and you this morning as we sit here, our sin has got to be purged. You know what the word purged means there? To make atonement for. How does God make atonement for our pollution? The altar. He does it on the altar. Who is our altar? Christ, who was represented in that altar where that high priest took that animal and shed its precious blood, shed the life force of that animal upon that altar, and said, this is my hope before God, that the penalty of my sin, which is death, that penalty is executed upon a substitute. There's my hope right there. There's my hope. Where did that coal come from? From off the altar where the sacrifice was slain. And Isaiah was shown who Christ is. He saw Him on the throne, didn't he? He's the sovereign King of glory. And He was shown something else. He was shown what He did for sinners. The coal was taken off of the altar where the blood was shed. And it was applied to Isaiah. And the angel said, your sin is gone. Is that what happened to you? Do you know anything about that? Have you seen the same one Isaiah saw? God gives varying degrees of faith, but there's one object of faith. If you saw anybody else beside the one Isaiah saw, you haven't seen the Lord. But if you saw Him, however dimly, however weakly, however pitiful your grasp, if you laid hold of the same one, the one who is on a throne and whose blood was shed on an altar, that sin and iniquity might be purged, then you've seen the Lord, and the same thing can be said of you. Thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. That's what we're here to celebrate. That's what we celebrate when the elements are put on the table and we take the bread and drink the wine. We say, the Lord, we're showing forth His death until He come. The Lord's body was broken for me and His blood was shed for me on that altar. He's the altar. He's the high priest. He's the sacrifice. And He's my hope. And he was Isaiah. When Isaiah saw the Lord, he could say, what we sing sometimes, my sins are gone. Praise God, my sins are gone. They're underneath the blood of the Christ of Calvary, as far removed as darkness is from dawn. In the sea of God's forgetfulness, that's good enough for me. How about you? Praise God, my sins are gone. Let's bow in prayer. Lord, thank you for this glorious word. Your iniquity is taken away, and your sin is purged. And we know from the writings of this same prophet in what manner this is so. Because the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. The Lord took all the sin of all of we, his people, his sheep, his saints, his elect, and laid them upon the Son of God. He became what we are, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Help us to get a glimpse of that, Lord. We know these things are true, but have we, like Isaiah, have we seen the Lord? Oh, give us a glimpse of him high and lifted up, and him in his sin atoning work for us, and him reigning forever as our mediator and high priest, with somewhat to offer his own precious blood on our behalf. What rest, what comfort. Thank you, Lord, for this glorious gospel. And give us rest, Lord. Cause us not to lean on the arm of the flesh, but to ever see him, look to him, and rest in him. Thank you for all the blessings of this past year, Lord. How would we ever name them? You've been so gracious to us, and blessing us, and revealing yourself to us, and edifying us, and just blessing us with one another, and with the gospel of your grace. We pray, Lord, that you'd continue to be with us. For how else are we different than they that go down into the pit, but that you're with us? Your grace is upon us. Your hand is with us. Your strength, your guidance, you constantly increasing our faith and giving us the peace that we have in Christ and causing us to look nowhere else. Keeping us in the fold. Thank you for all that you've done for us, Lord. All that you are to us in your Son. Use us for his glory. In his precious name we pray. Amen.